wanna be a loser, gonna win. Cause winning really is the only thing. Jensen sidesteps it, throws across the middle. Caught by Woods at the South Dakota 37. A wonderful catch. Reaching his arms out and brought down by Keon Logie. Brought to the right, hand off to Sam at the 40. 35, 30. A juke at the 25 and brought down from behind at the 21. Oh, Jury dancing his way up the middle.
We take your calls. We talk it over with the coaches, the players, and the fans on Bison Rewind.
Love that!
Gotta love it, baby!
Here we go!
Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship, check. An undefeated regular season, check. The number one seed in the playoffs, you would assume a check. Jeremy Jorgensen joins us quick. I'm Chase Miller along with Dan Gunderson and Norm Bell. Scott Storm is our executive producer back at our 790 KFGO studios to talk about the playoffs. Jeremy, and first and foremost, the Bison have to be a number one seed. And then number two for the fans, when, how, and where can they go to get playoff tickets?
Well, the ticket situation is pretty clear-cut. It's closed tomorrow, but you can start getting them online at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock tomorrow is the online start of tickets. Monday, the ticket office opens at 8 o'clock. But the key here, the deadline for season ticket holders, 5 p.m. this Friday. You have to purchase your tickets by 5 p.m. or they go back into the lot for the public. So 5 p.m. Friday, that's always the big deadline that everyone wants to know about.
And then with that, there's no way this team isn't, as you guys were talking about in the Bison Radio Network post-game show, that this team, if they keep winning, they'll be here at the Fargo Dome in South Frisco.
Oh, yeah, they'll be the top seed, there's no question. Eastern Illinois is a very strong two seed, there's no doubt about that. They put up 70 again today. They have a terrific resume. They'll be a solid number two. Eastern Washington is still playing right now. They look like a solid three, but the Bison are clearly the number one.
And then again tomorrow at 10:30 is when we'll find out about the brackets and everything else, correct?
Yes, ESPN is going to announce the top four seeds, but not the order at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. on their ticker. So you'll be able to know who the top four are. And if Eastern wins today, the top three are pretty clear-cut, but there is an interesting race for that fourth. It's probably going to be Southeast Louisiana with Maine losing, but you'll be able to find out that top four at 10. The full bracket comes out at 10:30, and then the Craig Bowl football show is also on at 10:30. I'll have Coach on right after that to have a live breakdown of the bracket right after the bracket is out. So.
And then last time before I let you go, Jeremy, just again, when and how can Bison fans get their tickets for that second round game, their first home playoff game this season?
Yeah, we do have a bye next week, which is nice. It gives us a little time. You know, a lot of times when there's no bye in between, it gets kind of hectic. But with the bye with this week, you have a full week of ticket hours. Obviously, Thanksgiving is in there. The ticket window is closed on Thanksgiving Day. But you can start getting them online at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And that deadline is 5 p.m. Friday, November 29th. If you're a season ticket holder, you have to have your tickets purchased by then or they go back to the public.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. Enjoy, and we'll see you in 2 weeks across the Bison Radio Network for playoff football.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Jeremy Jorgensen again. You hear him every Saturday with Scott Miller and Phil Hansen across the Bison Radio Network. We're going to take a break, so light up the phone lines. You can call KFGO 701-237-5948. If you're calling from out of town, 1-800-880-5346. Email studio.kfgo@mwcradio.com, or you can also text rewind to 35270. Light up the phone lines. Let us know what you think about this senior class, what you think about this game, and who do you think the Bison should play in their first playoff game this season. Again, Chase Miller along with Dan Gunderson and Norm Bell on the Bison Tailgate Show, operated by Essentia Health.
First and 10 from the South Dakota 28. Jensen with a stretch handoff. Crockett around the left end at the 20. 15, 10 for the sideline at the 5. Touchdown, John Crockett. Take that. And the Bison with a 28-yard touchdown scamper lead. It's 6-0.
Third and goal from the one. Again, power formation, goal line offense, and a handoff to Ogiri off the right side, past the goal line, into the end zone, touchdown. Ogiri was able to sidestep Tyler Starr and get 6 points, and it's 20-0 North Dakota State.
Sam O'Jury finishes the game with 14 rushes, 118 yards, and two touchdowns, along with John Crockett's 100-yard performance, where John had 11 rushes for 119 yards, as well as two touchdowns. Four touchdowns on the ground for North Dakota State, over 200-plus yards of offense on that one as well. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation on the Bison Rewind show operated by Essentia Health, you can call 701-237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. You can also text Rewind to 35270. I'm Chase Miller along with Dan Gunderson and Norm Bell. Scott Storm is our executive producer. And before we get to the phone lines, I want to quick toss it around. What happened today in the Missouri Valley? South Dakota State, you would assume, is in. But number two, was that such a devastating loss for Youngstown for them not to make the playoffs? I'll start with Dan.
No, I don't think it was. I think there was a lot of teams around the FCS that were able to fall in their favor. You look at a lot of ranked teams down low, Charleston Southern, Coastal Carolina, that won't hurt them. They lost to an FBS school. But Youngstown State, I think also with Montana State losing, you had Northern Arizona beating Southern Utah, William and Mary was another town. All these teams were right on the bubble. And so I believe that we're going to see Youngstown State get into the FCS playoffs.
Yeah, you know, no one likes to backdoor their way into the playoffs. It, you know, that anxiety is enough to kill you. But, yeah, you know, I think they'll get in. I think their body of work through conference should help them get in.
And teams that actually probably put themselves in the playoffs, New Hampshire beat Maine, that might be a backdoor team that sneaks into the playoffs. Also, a sub-500 team for the very first time, Lafayette takes down Lehigh in the Patriot League. So a 5-6 Lafayette team will make the playoffs. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, call 701-237-5948. Dial up 1-800-880-5346 out of town or text Rewind to 35270. Let's get to the phone lines. And first off, let's start with Kyle. Kyle, how you doing?
Hey, good, Shay. Thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing?
Good, good. What's up?
Good. Well, man, I'll tell you what. You know, if you guys are going to be talking about the playoffs, I'm sure a lot of other callers are going to be due too. But let's real quickly talk about this senior class. A lot of these guys were recruited during that 3-8 season and basically were sold on the potential that this team had and that this coaching staff thought the program had in the future. And I'll tell you what, this class has been so instrumental in turning this program around from what has been a very mediocre Valley team to all of a sudden on top of the football world, at least in the FCS. And, you know, getting around and things like ESPN Game Day and, you know, just being, you know, everyone's throwing it on you all of a sudden. I mean, this year class has been so instrumental in that. And I think going forward, knowing that, you know, every game we play could be their last game as Bison is a really tough pill to swallow, you know. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of emotion on that field whenever their last game comes, whether it's in Fargo or Frisco. So I think you really got to give a shout-out to them and recognize the importance they've had with this Bison football program.
Yeah, and to speak on your point, Kyle, again, 48-7 is this class at the, you know, just overall, and 28-3 they are at the Dome. Brock Jensen now the winningest quarterback in FCS. He's 44-5. So as you said, Kyle, the senior class very well-rounded.
Yeah, absolutely. The record stands by itself, of course, the championships and everything. But the leadership they brought, the outreach to the community, they seem to engender all around Fargo. Their approachability on campus, just the fact that they're tremendous people to work with. They're, you know, I've had the chance to have lunch with a couple of these guys, get to know them as they're studying alongside me at NDSU, see them on Facebook and Twitter, and just everything they do embodies Bison football to a T. And I think it goes to show the temerity of this team to put together a class like that, you know, count off of the coaching staff and just, man, I mean, what a senior class for this team. It's going to be real hard to send them off.
Very much so. Thanks for your call, Kyle.
Yeah, I think we have to thank Tim Brewster for that. A handful of those recruits, you know.
That's an agreement with their Norm. Let's also go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Murray. Maury, you're on Bison Rewind.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Not too bad. What'd you think of NDSU's performance?
Hey, how's it going, Norm? See, I'm going to give a shout-out to North Dakota State for what they've done for my family and all the entertainment and stuff like that. But other than that, I'm telling you, if we could run the football the way we're doing it, I don't think anybody can stop us. I think we just need to run the football, and I understand we threw the ball today, but if we wouldn't have gotten, you know, real tricky, I think we really could have set the tone earlier in the game. Just kind of wondering what you guys think of that, and at the same time, could I just do one thing? One of the guys I tailgate with, he's an older guy, and it's his birthday day, and I'd like to say happy birthday to Gary, and if you guys could comment on that running the football thing, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, NDSU ran for 296 yards. They had a couple guys go over 100 yards. the thing with this team this year, more so than last year, is they have much more confidence in throwing it right away with Brock Jensen because he has been so prolific throwing the ball. Plus the options down the field, it stretches out the team. Not a lot of guys can cover Vrah and Smith. It's really difficult. You saw it today. Jensen able to find some open scenes. I think NDSU goes with what they feel is going to work with them the best, and then towards the end of the game, NDSU just starts to run the ball, control the clock, and get things to a final. Chase is circling a stab for me. Brock Jensen, 16 of 22 for 230 yards, two touchdowns, had the one interception that he got hit on as he threw. It was an awkward hit, but even so, I think them throwing the ball, running the ball at the beginning of the game, it doesn't matter. They like to feel out what the defense is going to give them.
You're spot on, Daniel. And I think they like to also get teams on their heels right away. If you can get them on their heels, and then all of a sudden you start pounding them with the offensive line, that's a recipe for success. So, yeah, I think they will always be able to run the ball, but I think they like to get that passing game going right away.
And it'd be safe to say they, with John Crockett, got that first touchdown. That should have been Zach Ra's touchdown that got all of a sudden, I guess, a ghost call with an incompletion on that one. Thanks for your call again. Let's go now to Scott. Scott, you're on the Bison Rewind Show. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Not too bad. What do you think of NDSU's performance here at the Dome?
I think it was great, and you guys are pretty good as far as your expertise. And I don't know if you've got Jeremy Jorgensen or those guys. I want to get your opinion on two things. First of all, on the crew that officiated the game, I thought they were very subpar and not very good. And the second thing is, what's your opinion on North Dakota State seeing either Youngstown or South Dakota State in their bracket for the playoffs? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'll say first and foremost, after that ghost call, the refs being on the field, they heard it the rest of the game. Whether it was Ryan Smith's caught touchdown pass or when John Crockett found a way to get in the end zone, a lot of people were giving them a lot of grief. You know, this is one of those things, I don't know what the refs saw, because it was so late that the near sideline official had both of his hands up in the air. He called the touchdown. 10 seconds later, they group up, and then after that, they call the incomplete. So I'm not sure. Again, this is another reason why they should have replay. If you have television and they're covering the game, they already have the cameras here. You might as well use it, something that the refs should use. Number two, with South Dakota State and Youngstown State, it'd probably be a better shot for them, I think, personally, with how, again, 450 miles we heard with Gene Taylor in the Bison Tailgate Show, how they like to regionalize teams as best as they possibly can. You probably see South Dakota State over Youngstown State. I'll toss this one to Norm. Norm, what'd you think about the crew and obviously playing either the Jacks or the Penguins?
Well, first of all, the officiating crew, it's, you know, when they make big mistakes like they did today, and then you're in a hostile environment, it's kind of hard for them to really rebound, because they're constantly trying to not make mistakes, and they're making mistakes, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where it was a big call. It didn't cost NDSU much, but at the same time, with the fans on them, the coaches are on them, and that really affects them the rest of the game. And that's the difference between a crew that you put together for championships and a crew that, you know, that kind of, you know, they have a hard time adjusting. South Dakota State, Youngstown State, if the NCAA has their way, I think it'll be South Dakota State again. I don't know how fair it would be to NDSU to play them twice again, because especially this year, they've gotten better as the season's gone along. I don't think they're afraid to play them. I don't think they mind playing them, especially after last year, the way they handled them.
Honestly, when it comes to the playoffs, it doesn't matter. NDSU could take on whoever they want in that first round. It's going to be kind of just a something we saw last year with SDSU coming in here. NDSU fans were worried, and NDSU just throttled them. NDSU has put themselves at a level so much further ahead of everybody else that I think it would almost be a welcome sight if I were an NDSU person to play a team I already know what they're going to do. SDSU, sure, they've gotten better as time has gone on, but you have to remember, NDSU has too. I mean, that was a 20-0 game. NDSU didn't play that well in a 20-0 win. We've seen this offense get better over time because the passing game has gotten better over time. We've seen the running game dominate, as they always have. And now we've seen Sam Ogiri and John Crockett just mirror each other. I think they were 2 yards off today. To me, it doesn't matter who you play. As far as the referees were concerned, I don't know what you're thinking there on that catch, what the cause was. My biggest issue with it as a fan or as somebody sitting up here is, give me an explanation. Don't tell me incomplete. Say it was incomplete because not everybody's at home watching it on the television, going with the guys who announced it there, with Scott Miller in the booth, who can kind of glean from it what he can. sit there and give us an explanation. I always love referees that do that at games because he understands, well, there's 60,000 people that are actually here, or 19,000 if you're at the Fargo Dome, that are actually here that want to understand why I made the call. Make the call, fine, whatever. Have the guts enough to come out and say what you saw and why you made the call.
I completely agree with you on that one. There was just really no reason for it. Again, they huddled up. They just said pass was incomplete. Went back to the 45-yard line. A couple plays later, John Crockett finds a way to get into the end zone. You know, no harm, no foul. But Zach Fraud would be the leading receiver with touchdowns in a season if that wasn't a no call for that one. Again, some big stats. Craig Bohl, his 100th career victory. Big shout out to him. Brock Jensen now 44-5 as a starting quarterback with that one. And another shout out. And another shutout in the fourth quarter. That's the 10th time this season NDSU has held teams to goose egg 0 points in the fourth quarter. We're going to take one more break on the Bison Rewind Show coming up here again. If you want to be part of the conversation, dial up 701-237-5948, 1-800-880-5346, or text the word Rewind. Let us know what you think about NDSU's victory, this senior class, and who should we play coming in the playoffs. All to come on the Bison Tailgate Show, operated by Essentia Health on 790 KFGO.
Single wide out to the right in an eye backfield. Off play action. Jensen sets up, throws it deep up the right side, has Smith there, runs underneath the 15, 10, 5, to the goal line. Touchdown, Ryan Smith. Well, that makes up for it. It's 13-0 Bison. Bye, oh, bye.
And 10 from the 22, 11 seconds left until halftime. Good snap. Jensen throws deep, left side of the end zone. Fraus there, leaps, caught, touchdown, North Dakota State. And they're not going to take this one away from Zach Fraus. He has just tied the single season NDSU record with his 11th touchdown catch this year. My, oh my.
Heard Scott Miller right there. Zach Fraud ties T.R. McDonald's record with 11. Last Bison player to do that again was T.R. McDonald in 1993. Well, two of three check marks are good. They've won the Missouri Valley. They went undefeated in the regular season. Third one still yet to be determined, trying to win that championship. I'm Chase Miller along with Dan Gunderson and Norm Bell. Scott Storm is our executive producer. Let's hit up the phone lines again. And Darren from Fargo, you're on Bison Rewind.
Hey, good evening, guys. First of all, just a quick comment. Thanks for broadcasting the game and the good job you do there and with the post-game. Thank you very much. And I have two questions, both kind of getting back to the ref. Yeah, the refs had a pretty bad game today. I'm assuming they can learn from some of their mistakes. Does the league office sit down with them and basically go over the film and things that they graded out well on and things that they did poorly? And second of all, if I remember right, last year in the playoffs there was a replay. Is that going to be the same this year? I'll just hang up and listen.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks for the compliment, first off. We really appreciate it. Love bringing Bison football and Bison Tailgate, Bison Rewind to those out there. As far as the referee's concerned, my guess is that it's like any other job. You have evaluations when the season's over or after so much of time, and these guys are, you know, they get paid to do this, and I think the pay would increase once you get into the playoffs. I know it does for NFL refs, it does for NBA refs, so on and so forth. So the evaluation is an important process that I'm assuming they go through. As far as the replay is concerned, I, again, guess that it will be the same. It doesn't seem likely that they would do it one season then dump it the next. So my guess, yes, they'll have replay available at every stadium in the FCS playoffs this year for teams to look at.
Yeah, most conferences have their own set of officials, and they usually work in the same crew every week. And at some point during the week, yes, the film will be reviewed if it's not being reviewed right now. But, yeah, the league officials will probably have a, you know, they'll look at it from every angle that they could possibly get from, you know, from this area. But, I you know, it's something that I don't think they'll be penalized for, but I think it's, you know, when it comes to selecting that, those special crews for big games.
Stretch hand off to Crockett off the left side. A gaping hole at the 20, at the 15, twirls past the man at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown, John Crockett doing his best Houdini act. And it's 41-0. My, oh, my.
It's the Bison Rewind Show operated by Essentia Health. And speaking of Houdini's, we got a good one back at our 790 KFGO studios with Scott Storm pulling the stop there. Thanks for the technical difficulties and helping us out. But we were talking off the air then that the Missouri Valley refs, we discussed that, but if the Bison play Montana or the Bison play Maine, they won't have a Missouri Valley officiating crew here in the Fargo Dome. So they'll get, let's say that they play a Big Sky team, there will be a CAA crew or a SoCon crew or a Big South. I mean, it'll be anybody else than the Valley. So for Bison fans, you won't have to worry about that as much. Number two, Montana making the playoffs. That should be a lock. South Dakota State with that win should be a lock just for regionalized teams who we might see. Norm, you want to talk about Montana State?
I want them to make the playoffs. I want them to have to come here. I want these fans to, you know, to keep their interest. I want them to be interested in what's going on in the playoffs here. I don't want to, you know, a Robert Morris or anybody. I want Montana State to come here. They ducked out early in the season. I want them to have to come here.
I think that would be the most interested NDSU fans have been in a football game at the Fargo Dome since that UNI game because, like it or not, Bison fans have kind of taken a backseat interest-wise because, again, NDSU just keeps winning so much that it almost seems like these fans are a little bit bored. They're bored with the fact that NDSU can come out and win 42-0. There was a little bit of energy today, but then after the first quarter, it died down.
Yeah.
People left at halftime. And again, what do you expect? It's 42-0. The game was in the bag at the half. But if Montana State were to come here, my goodness, I don't know. I would fear for the life of the Montana State players because I think it was well documented. Fans not only of NDSU but about fans of Montana State were upset that the Bobcats backed out of an early season game that was supposed to be at the Fargo Dome this year. And so, yeah, I just honestly think that that game, the atmosphere, would get picked up tenfold if they were to come here. I'm with Norm on this one. I want them to show up.
And let's take our final call. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Bison Rewind. Chris, you're on Bison Rewind.
Hey, guys. You know, the crew that officiated the last playoff game in the Dome last December was out of that Southeastern Conference area. They did an excellent job. And I had an opportunity to visit with them after the game, and they were impressed with the crowd, with the facility, and with the play. And they would they said they would love to come back. So how do we get them back?
Again, it's about people just putting them there. I think an NCAA committee decides where they go. You know, it's all about governing bodies. Everybody's got their own boss. So if that crew, I'm assuming maybe you could put in a request, but I think the crew at the end would get placed where they go. And again, it's all about grading out, and it's all about how you did throughout the season.
Seeing what conferences match up with
exactly,
each other.
Exactly, seniority, all these different things that go into play that a crew can get sent up here to the Fargo Dome. If it works out that way and they came here, that'd be great. But again, you just want to make sure that no matter who comes here, it's a well-refed game.
And, you know, but how many people?
You guys need to agree that there should be some degree of separation when it comes to the crew that officiates in those playoff games, that they have no affiliation whatsoever with that area, with those universities, and those teams.
Well, you know,
that's the rule.
Yeah, that's the rule. Yeah, that's first and foremost the rule because it doesn't matter. Again, let's say we play Montana, there can't be a Big Sky officiating crew, whether they officiated in Montana or not. Let's say they did all the Southern Utah games and UC Davis and Sac States, and they never saw Montana. They still can't be part of that game because, quote unquote, they would have a bias. Some people might say because if a certain penalty goes someone way, that way the NCAA is just fine, and they don't have to talk about why certain calls happen with, you know, playing a team in your conference
now,
that they have.
I have another question. Do you guys really think, in all seriousness, that the Grizz or the Kitty Cats out of Bozeman have the audacity, the guts, or the intestinal fortitude to play in the Dome?
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that, I mean, it, you know, the Fargo Dome, yes, it's an amazing place when it comes to the way it is, but again, these athletes are going to come in here and they're going to try to block out the noise, the fortitude, and the guts. I think at the beginning, the crowd does provide a little bit of shock value, but let's not kid ourselves. The reason teams end up getting just demolished by NDSU is because of the defensive and offensive lines.
Right.
You know, think of how good
Absolutely.
NDSU has been on the road the last so many years. So it comes down to the fact that by the fourth quarter, you have this not only physically you're just drained, but now emotionally you have to deal with the crowd. So it does add an advantage, but I think they have the fortitude and the guts to come to the Dome and play.
That's more a fan thing, being scared of environments. Athletes want to compete, and they want to compete with the best, against the best, in the best environment. That, you know, a lot kids love to go play in 70,000-seat stadiums on the road because that's what they came to college for. So, yeah, I definitely think they want to play.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm against the clock. Again, thank you very much for being part of the Bison Rewind Show. Again, Bison Rewind Show brought to you by Essentia Health. Obviously, as Norm said, a lot of fans would love to see Montana State get in the playoffs and have to make it to the Fargo Dome if they win that first round game. Again, the top 8 seeds get a bye. North Dakota State won't have to worry about that. Again, tickets go on sale tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock on the website on GoBison.com. You can call the ticket office starting at 8 a.m. And season ticket holders, on Friday, by Friday, November 29th, you must claim your tickets for the playoffs by 5 p.m. Otherwise, they go to the general public. On behalf of Scott Storm, our executive producer, Dan Gunderson, Norm Bell, I'm Chase Miller, repeating tonight's final. Again, North Dakota State walks away with this one, 42-0 over the University of South Dakota. We'll see you in 2 weeks for playoff football. Have a great rest of your night and a great weekend. And as always, go Bison.